Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the podcast.
This is Toast.
And this is Sienna.
This is episode number 92 of the Girl Meets Girl podcast.
8 episodes away from the cake.
Woo-hoo! This episode is titled, Our History as Meat Eaters. It's the first in this month's series about going vegetarian.
We've gotten a lot of emails about people asking us how we actually did it because they know our histories of being born and raised in Hawaii. So we're going to tell you. But if you're not interested in going vegetarian at all, don't worry because, you know, we're not just going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But we've hang in there.
But we have gotten requests over, you know, periods of time. Yeah. And then so throughout this whole month, we're going to have like features about different aspects of going vegetarian. Things like, well, obviously this episode is our history as meat eaters and the personal events and reasons that inspired us to go vegetarian, which was over the course of a couple years. Also, in the future episodes, we're going to offer just realistic, real-world, down-to-earth suggestions that will help you to go veggie, or at least more veggie,
mm-hmm.
if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to cover this month facts and figures to inspire and support you to become or to stay vegetarian, and also recipes and recipe ideas that we've incorporated into our diet, things that have become favorites and or staples of our diet.
Yep.
Okay, then. It's a Facebook world.
Okay, so after like what, 2 years?
Yeah, this is the big announcement.
We had it for like 2 years.
This is the big announcement section. And the big announcement this episode is that after 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
It's been.
We are finally on Facebook, like actively on it. Not every day.
Every minute.
So we are finally on it, and it is so fun.
Sienna's like my, what are you? You're my guide. You're my Facebook guide. And Alo is your Facebook guide.
Yes, Alo. Oh my God, that was so helpful. Thank you. But anyways, so we are on it.
And not just have a profile. Because we had a profile before, but we just totally ignored it. Because we didn't know what the hell was going on.
We had no picture. We didn't even put up a picture. We had the Cool Whip head guy as our picture. And thanks to the Bad Cats, we used a picture that we all took together at a Whole Foods. So we have a picture of us from that picture.
In the supermarket.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyways, it is very addicting, I have to say.
I believe you.
Yeah. And I'm already, like, I'm getting over my crackberry addiction. So it's kind of dangerous for me. But it's fun. And I'm going to at least try to keep up. And if any of you are wondering, like, God, I swear, Sienna and Toast, they do everything together. They even have their Facebook together. We're not being, like, unhealthy and codependent. It's just efficient. Like, seriously. Because we did think, well, let's just do separate pages. But there is so much to handle in our lives, like with our music and all the things that we share with you folks, that's just, oh my gosh, to do both of those. And we also do have a McKenna fan page. Is that what it's called? A fan page?
I don't know.
Please join it. Please join it. Maybe we can rename it McKenna / Girl Meets Girl.
Okay.
Fan page. Or maybe we should do a separate Girl Meets Girl one. Anyways.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like when you start dividing up.
It's too much
there's
time.
There's just two of us in the world. I know. There's you and there's me.
Right.
So what? We're going to have one Facebook page for you and then another for me and then another for McKenna and then for Girl Meets Girl.
And then maybe and for then the cats.
For the cats.
Concerts for cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just too much.
No,
so
I don't think so.
Anyways. But we're excited because let's see. I don't know what prompted me to do it. But I was like, oh my gosh, we have to get our picture up on our Facebook and start just looking at our Facebook. So just within the course of a few hours, it was so exciting because we saw Ava. Hi, Ava. We saw Lillian from Singapore. Hi, Lillian and Teresa. And Etolix. Hi, Etolix. Like everybody. Diane is such a great Facebooker. I know what's going on. She had a hard day. Then she had a great night. Then she had a good shower. And then her ferrets are spooning. Like, it's exciting.
Oh my God.
It's exciting.
Coconut.
Mary Kay.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Alo. It's exciting.
We're late to the party.
But it's a very good party indeed. I know what people are talking about now. And I don't know if any of you saw this, those of you on Facebook, but we did become vampires. And I don't know how, I realize how we became vampires.
No, you do. Okay? No, you
I
know.
Do. But I don't know how to unvampire us. So, because I don't want to be a vampire. Somebody bit us. That's how we became a vampire.
Okay, okay.
And we kind of said, yeah, bite us. And then so we're vampires.
Bite me.
So anyways.
Are we cupcakes or poked?
It is fun.
Because I've seen those things on Facebook too.
No, but we got a beach heart and a few teddy bears and hugs. But
that's nice.
I don't know how to, I don't
know. That's
nice. I don't know.
I got to tell you though, that's what made me walk away from Facebook. Like whatever it was a year ago or whatever it was.
All those little apps and things.
Yeah, what little things. And I'm like, you know, I have other things to do besides figure out like poking and cupcakes right now. So I just walked away. But that's why I'm so glad, Sienna, that you took the time and figured it out. And
well,
it only took like what? And look how much joy it's bringing to you.
Well, yeah, it's fun. I have to say it's
pretty good.
That's
good. Then that's why, you know, even though it's addicting, hey, there are worse addictions.
Yeah. Oh, and Mel and Nobby. See, like everybody. Yeah. Everybody's on it. Everybody's on it. Oh, and so, Dale. Oh, my God.
So thanks, Dale. Everybody, for friending us. Thanks for, like, Facebooking with us, even though, you know, like,
I know, gosh, we're so late. We're so late.
Yeah, and still, they, like, still will comment to us.
So okay, and here's a special message to Hannah of Facebook, okay, who mentioned the podcast. Hannah, I don't know what you're talking about.
In regards to...
We definitely accept your Facebook help, but I'm not sure what you need help in. Something about the Girl Meets Girl comment board? I don't know.
Okay.
So
can you message her?
Hannah, explain.
Okay. Anyways. All right.
Okay.
We're going down to the Facebook black hole right now. Let's not get sucked down.
So happy April.
Woo woo!
And it's a new month. So what does that mean? What does that mean, everybody?
I know. That means you can vote again.
Yes.
For Girl Meets Girl.
Yes.
As a really good podcast.
Yes.
At Podcast Alley.
And for the high tech people, you can vote like 4 times.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing.
Five
with
times.
Like IP addresses.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think that's Mel.
Viv and Mel.
Yeah, Viv and
Mel.
Viv and Mel. We got to give them their own little section on our new website.
We do.
I'm working on a new website for all of us.
Yes.
So you can send good thoughts out for that. I'm doing my best and it will be a constant work in progress. I've kind of resigned myself to be like, okay, I'm not going to have it be like all completely 100% polished and perfect and just like a yowza spectacular website from the very beginning. I'll just put it together so it's like functional.
Yeah. People can't take it if it's a yowza one all one time.
And then you guys can keep on my ass about making it better and updating it and stuff like that so that it will continually be changing and growing, hopefully, like all of us.
But it's going to be a better website than what you see now in terms... It's going to be a little more interactive and...
That's the vision anyways.
We want to have a Girl Meets Girl newsletter to kind of keep you updated as far as like what the theme is for the month and what podcasts are coming up and all of that good stuff. So
those are thoughts for the future.
We are excited. Oh, the near future.
Along with the videos that we want to put out. But I have to say and let you know that... the video camera that we have access to, it actually belongs to a friend of ours and they needed it back.
But so, they needed it back to use for a function.
And we still need the cable.
Right.
So.
Well,
we're working on it. We
just didn't get it. I mean, we're fine with the cable. Yeah. We can get a cable. But we just, things happened. We had all those gigs. And so, but anyways, the great news is that our friend said, oh no, we can totally use it.
after
whenever
she's done.
We want. And I think she's using it for Dinah Shore.
Well, good for her.
So we're going to have to see if we can get some of those videos.
Good for her.
Well, maybe see, maybe it's X-rated. I don't
see,
know.
See, Girl Meets Girl has an on-location unit. We're sending them out.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Oh.
Good Lord.
That's all the announcements for now.
All right. Well, let's get them excited about a contest.
For the April contest, in keeping with our vegetarian theme, we have a vegan guitar strap.
And I want to keep it.
This vegan guitar strap is worth $45 retail, and it is courtesy of Humanitaire, which is a vegan, what do they sell? Clothes, shoes, wallets.
They sell makeup. They sell jewelry. They sell all books.
All the types of things that you would normally find leather in, right? Like belts, shoes, well, but it's vegan.
It's a cruelty-free store.
Right.
So they pride themselves on having all vegan items and non-sweatshop type items. And it's a wonderful store. It happens to be one of our favorite stores. But they have these amazing guitar straps.
The amazing guitar strap company is called Couch. And they make guitar straps out of like old seat belts and the vinyl from cars and things like that. It's really pretty trippy. So their website is couchguitarstraps.com. And the website for Humanitaire is shophumanitaire.com. So to enter the contest, all you do is you put up a link or a review, or you mention this podcast, Girl Meets Girl, somewhere online where other people can see it, at like a forum or message board, something like that. And then you take a screenshot of it and send it to us at mail, M-A-I-L, at GirlMeetsGirlPodcast.com.
Or if you don't want to take a screenshot or that intimidates you, don't let it stop yourself from just doing it. Just do it and email us and just tell us, hey, I did it.
I did it.
And tell us where. That's okay. Fine too.
And then we'll put all of you guys' emails and names in the bucket. And on the very last episode of this month, April, we will draw a winner.
So now for anyone who plays guitar, you want this guitar strap.
Yes, it's actually very cool.
It's, yeah, it's incredible.
We'll put up a link to the product.
There's going to be a photo of the product, but seriously, that photo doesn't do it justice. It's pretty incredible.
Alrighty. And now, moving on, we're getting to the vegetarian part. We're getting there. But first, we're going to tell you about a little gig that we have coming up later this month at Loyola Marymount University. Okay, so we did this gig last year also. This is for an event that is sponsored by LMU's Asian Pacific Student Services. And for this particular event that we're going to be playing at, they're also bringing in the Hawaii Club and the Gay Straight Alliance. For obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. This is really our niche. They're gay, they're Asian, and from Hawaii.
That's us.
That's us.
Oh, the Vegetarian Club. Dang.
Oh, we should have asked. Do they have a vegetarian club?
I would think so. It's a college. There's all kinds of clubs at colleges.
Well, we should email them.
Yeah. So this gig is on Tuesday, April 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. in the living room of Malone Student Center. That's on the ground floor next to the bookstore. And admission is free. It is open to the public.
It really is free?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though it's being hosted by LMU. And I think they say that public parking is available from 4 p.m. on.
Yeah.
So that's all. That's what we're going to be doing.
And so last time when we did this gig, they actually had, and this is more for the people who are non-vegetarians, they had spam musubi, tons of spam musubi, and they also had boba drinks, remember?
Yeah.
Someone brought in all
Love
those
it.
Huge boba drinks.
And it's just
it's free.
And if you're wondering, well, what is it? The event is called Third Tuesdays. Apparently, they do it every third Tuesday. And it's kind of just like a kind of a hangout time. They have a musical performance by somebody. And then in our case, they're going to intersperse it with a question and answer time. Probably questions about being gay and stuff like that.
And college students are not shy.
I love it.
They will just ask anything.
Love it.
And they trick you. They try to see if your brain still works.
Yeah, because they're smart. They're smart and scary like that.
Well, their brains are exercised.
Right.
Much more utilized. All right. So now on to the topic. Now for our carnivoric history.
Carnivoric. I like that. Wow. Our history.
Carnivorous. As
meat eaters. So, what? How do you want to do this? Should we interview each other?
Carnivorology.
Carnivorousness. Carnivorians. Carnivores.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so a lot of people are surprised to hear when they find out that we're vegetarian and actually pretty vegan. And then we don't even go into the, well, bless you.
Thank you.
Toast.
Did they hear that?
Probably. We don't even go much into the raw food.
We so don't.
Issues. We just kind of keep that to ourselves.
It's just enough to be vegetarian.
Just you all know and us. But they're pretty surprised because they know our history is that we were both born and raised in Hawaii. And as a lot of you know or may not know, Hawaii people are really known to be the foodies, especially the salty meat eating, spam eating foodies.
Right. Like if you're from California and you're vegetarian, that kind of goes together.
Kind of. Yeah.
More than if you're from Hawaii and vegetarian.
Right. And plus, like, California people don't normally eat spam very much. They go ill. Mm-hmm. But Hawaii people, like, that's in almost everyone's house in their cupboards.
Yeah.
Spam. You'll find spam. You'll find can of Vienna sausage. Mm, and you'll find the black and red can of corned beef to make corned beef hash.
Yes.
Seriously. I promise you.
So you can tell that when we were growing up, we did eat a lot of meat. I don't think it was more than the average person, but it was definitely a special thing. Like at my family's place, the big special thing at Christmas, I didn't put this in the notes, but I just remembered it now, was duck.
Ah, duck bun.
No, just duck. Like a roasted duck.
Okay.
And I would look forward to that. Oh, it's so good. My mom makes it so good. That was Christmas dinner.
She bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't make it?
No, she made it. She bought the duck raw.
Right. And she marinated it and did her own
basted it.
Because
with
you know what?
Poultry seasoning.
There's a duck that you can buy in Hawaii that's already marinated in a bag.
Oh, no.
And that one's good, too.
Okay. Duck is really good, actually, because it's so much oil in it, right?
Okay,
so
now this is the thing. We've been vegetarian, and as we're talking about this now, I feel sad. And I think that's what happens for the overly sensitive people, because I'm thinking of the real duck. Mm-hmm. And then I think what happens is the longer you are vegetarian, if you're connected to animals, because some people become vegetarians for other reasons.
Oh, totally, yeah.
There's so many reasons to choose that mm-hmm. way. But for me, because everyone knows I love animals so much, it's so hard for me to think of the meat and not think of the animal that it was. And so as we're talking about the duck, I'm seeing the duck. Mm-hmm. And so it really does something to your
duck
brain. That's my crackberry. All right. Dinner's done. All right.
Take care of that later.
That was KTSP.
Podcast listener.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Text messaging.
Special guest appearance by KTSP.
By KTSP. Anyways, so what was I even talking about? I don't know.
Well,
about the duck.
Yeah, how you're connected to the animals. And right now, I just realized, I know this is vegetarian month, and here we are talking about, ooh, the duck is so good. But the reason that we wanted to start out with our history as meat eaters was to hopefully provide encouragement and an example of, if you're interested in becoming vegetarian and you just don't see how it could happen, like, oh, you just can't give stuff up.
It can happen.
Yeah, we wanted to let you know that that's how we felt. That's how we, you know.
I never, that's where we came from. So that's the whole purpose of talking about our meat histories.
Yeah.
Because seriously, I never, ever, ever thought I would be a vegetarian, mm-hmm. let alone vegan, let alone high raw food eating person.
Yeah, I thought it was way too big of a deal.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you our history of being meat eaters and then tell you like what happened to have us transition to now being mostly vegan.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, duck. Another really special thing for me when I was a child was going to grandma and grandpa's house for steak. Like we would cook the steak outside on the hibachi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really seen as a treat because steak was expensive. That was an expensive meat. We never had it at our house. But when we went to grandma and grandpa's, we could have it.
And, wow.
And we had steak with rice, right? Mm-hmm,
right.
In Hawaii.
That's Hawaii.
Yep. And I learned that what I preferred was medium rare steak. I didn't really know what that meant, but you know, I got to taste all the different kinds and then I picked the one that I liked the best. And I learned that you call that medium rare.
Yeah.
And that's where I first was introduced to A1 steak sauce. Loved it. So that was a childhood thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that I really liked were peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. In fact, I made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and sometimes peanut butter and honey sandwiches for myself. and text conversation continues.
Here's KTSP again.
But I made those sandwiches for myself for almost every single lunch during junior high school.
But that's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
That's a vegetarian.
That's true.
Not necessarily vegan.
Yeah.
Depending on what kind of bread.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I also really loved cereal and milk.
Mm-hmm.
Special shout out to Alo.
Yes.
Yes. She also loves cereal. Alo, our podcast listener. And other things I remember just really loving as a kid or growing up was King's Hawaiian sweetbread with lots of butter. Cut it up into wedges.
Okay. So the
like
round
pie.
One.
Yeah.
Not the little buns, the round, big, giant, the circle one.
Yes. Yeah. The almost spherical Hawaiian sweetbread, and you cut it up like it's a pizza. So you have these big wedges.
Yeah.
I also loved bacon. Uh-huh. Club sandwiches and pancakes with scrambled eggs and ketchup and sausage and the syrup. I love the salty and the sweet together.
Yeah.
So those were my favorite foods growing up.
Wow.
And I did not like cooked carrots. I thought it just made me gag.
See, isn't that funny?
And asparagus,
that's
too.
That's why. It's very, there's hope.
Yeah, because now I love cooked carrots.
Yeah, because what we hear a lot from our friends and people we meet that find out that we're vegetarian, vegan people is that they really think they can't do it.
Even though they want to.
Even though they want to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why we decided let's share our story because it's pretty interesting because we pretty much went cold turkey, you know, in a certain vein of it. And we'll explain more. But as far as food histories, again, I come from a Filipino family. And so I think, I don't know, all you Filipino listeners out there, pipe up and tell me if you agree. Filipinos eat a lot of steak. And not because they're all rich or anything, but just because I think they just eat a lot of it.
Just part of the culture, huh?
I think so. Mm. Yeah. So we had a lot of steak. We ate a lot of steak with rice.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And
did you have A1 steak sauce with
it?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Good. Very good.
I mean, I didn't eat it with A1 steak sauce.
Oh, you didn't?
But that was definitely on the kitchen table.
How did you like yours? Medium.
Well done.
Ah, okay.
Well done.
Okay.
And definitely with rice. We rarely ever saw a potato in my house unless it was part of a stew.
Same here.
Or like something called guisantes. So that has potatoes in it.
Right.
Peas especially, because that's what that word means. But So ate a lot of steak. We ate a lot. We even, okay. Oh gosh, I'm so embarrassed. But we even ate cow tongue. Don't be afraid,
traditional
everybody.
Filipino food.
Yeah. I mean, I even learned how to make it. And I actually would cook it and clean it. And wow, that just freaks me out today because, let me tell you, a cow tongue is exactly what you think. Like, it has taste. Like, look at your tongue and magnify it by, like, 50 times the size of your own tongue. Maybe more.
Oh, for real?
It's huge. Like, you, it's big.
Like, as big as your hand?
Bigger than your hand. Big. It's big. It's bigger.
Well, like your foot.
Like a foot.
Oh my God.
Well, like our feet, you know.
Yeah, like a small foot.
A smaller
like
foot.
Like a 5 foot person's
but
foot.
It's really thick. It has the taste buds on it. And you have to clean it really well. And you have all the vein. And I used to touch that and clean it.
Okay.
Oh
now,
my God.
Well, I'm sure a lot of other people still do. So did it gross you out at that time? Or no? That was just
a
like.
A little bit. It, you know,
a little bit. But touching, not anything.
Touching meat and cooking meat has always kind of freaked me out. So okay, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I was meant to be a bitch. I don't know. But well, it just kind of freaks me out.
Well,
period.
Me too. And honestly, I don't think it's something that is seen as being like, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to sticking my hand down the gizzard, you know.
Well, some people, thing. It's a sport and they're going for it. And
that's true.
Hands in there and all.
That's true.
Like I never mixed the, like if we were making meatloaf, I would never do it with my hands. Ever.
I did.
I'm not touching that. I'm having it under my nails.
Yeah, I did.
Ugh. Okay. So anyways. Okay, so we ate a lot of steak. We ate a lot of roast beef, a lot of red meat, more than chicken, I would say. Okay. Pork adobo, chicken adobo every once in a while. We did have some roast chickens, but we hardly ate any vegetables. We did have salad at the table, but it was, you know, the iceberg kind of salad from a bag or just ripped up from the iceberg head lettuce, you know, maybe some carrots in there. But we hardly ever, like I, as a kid, I hardly ever ate salad. I never liked it.
Mm.
Never liked salad.
Okay.
Never touched an asparagus until I probably was in my early 20s.
Really?
Never ate an avocado because I just refused
really?
To until I was probably in my early 20s.
Wow.
So as you can see, I was never really a vegetable kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Full on meat, full on rice, rarely really ever potatoes, and not really much bread because I was never really a bread person.
Okay.
But I didn't, and I never really liked milk, honestly. Mm. I would never finish my milk at school.
I used to love milk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It made me feel gross to be drinking, you know, when you're in elementary school and you have your like your pizza lunch tray or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the vegetable and the little fruit and the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone has milk, right?
Right.
That little carton.
Yep.
That would gross me out because you're eating pizza and drinking milk.
Ugh. Like what would have been more appropriate to you?
Juice or...
Like iced tea, like that.
Yeah, but maybe for a kid, like just guava juice, like juice, you know, a light juice beverage. Like milk to me just never went with dinner, lunch, maybe breakfast.
Okay.
If your breakfast was cereal.
I don't know, it just never mixed. Did you like milkshakes or ice cream?
Loved milkshakes and ice cream.
Okay. So but it was more like a dessert thing maybe.
Yeah, but never mix. You know how some people order like, you know, you hear like a burger, fries and a milkshake. Ugh, what is that? People biting the burger, eating the fry, sipping the milkshake. That is just sickening. I'm sorry if any of you do that.
Probably a lot of them.
Oh, but I don't get it.
Because that's like Americana, man.
But that's dessert.
Like the diner experience.
But then finish your dinner and then have your dessert.
Okay.
You know, have a nice have a nice line.
Okay.
Whew.
Boy.
Ugh.
All right. So basically... What we're saying is that Siena especially maybe was just ripe for conversion. I mean, the vegetarian missionaries saw her and started drooling, right? You know, I mean, if they could bring you to the vegetarian Jesus.
Okay, but I have to say.
What?
Okay, so maybe that's more of a milk issue or whatever, but I really enjoyed red meat. Very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I probably loved red meat more than chicken. Okay. So when we went vegetarian, I would miss like a roast.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Does, yeah.
Like
yeah.
that, like, I don't know. I never thought I would, you know, be vegetarian. But anyways, okay. So.
Okay. So did you ever, okay, now that we have been vegetarian for how many years? What? 5 years?
I don't remember.
It's not like we. It's not like we celebrate the anniversary of becoming vegetarian. So
well,
we
it
don't.
Down.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, because I think it's important.
Okay. So it's in there somewhere, but we're pretty settled in it.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
Was there ever a time, Sienna, when you?
Boy, this is formal.
Yeah, I'm going into my Barbara Walters mode.
Don't make me cry.
Was there ever a time before this when you tried to go vegetarian? Or is this the first time? Because there was a time when I was vegetarian for a year or two.
Right, and I think you should share that with everyone. But no, there wasn't ever a time that I tried to go vegetarian because I just really never thought it was going to be for me.
Okay.
I did see, when I was like 22 years old, I started to see a naturopath.
What is that?
An homeopath. It's a doctor who practices holistic medicine. All different modalities. So this was actually a chiropractor. That's what her shingle was outside her door. So people thought, okay, she's a chiropractor. And she was an excellent one. But she incorporated homeopathy and herbs and neuro-linguistic. She really opened up my world as far as what is out there for alternative healing.
Okay.
And through her, I did adjust my diets at certain time in my life just to help me heal certain conditions in my body.
Okay, so you treated food as medicine in that
I did.
Regard.
And,
okay.
And so at times I did eat less meat, but I never, ever called myself a vegetarian or never strived to become a vegetarian. Never.
Okay. Okay. So unlike Sienna, I actually did, I will say I attempted to be a vegetarian, because it lasted for about a year or two.
That's long.
I think.
That's really
maybe
long.
Maybe when you're, I don't know, I'm not sure, but it was in my early 20s. And the reason that I decided I'm not going to eat meat, it was for philosophical reasons, related.
That's you.
Yeah. You know, having to do with, environmental concerns and moral and ethical concerns. And this was especially after I had been attracted to and I read a very famous book by Francis Moore Lapp called Diet for a Small Planet. And basically, I ended up eating a lot of junk food that didn't contain meat.
Yeah, I think people. I think people make that mistake.
Yeah. And I ended up gaining weight in an unhealthy way. I don't think gaining weight is bad, but it was unhealthy weight.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
like trans fats and saturated fats.
I guess. I mean, I just kind of
like Twinkies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
So that was for about a year or so, and I actually probably kept that weight on for a few years. Mm-hmm. That was the heaviest I've ever been. Now I would say I'm about 10 or 15 pounds lighter than that. But, that was my first attempt to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it lasted about a year or two.
Yeah.
And I just eventually was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. You know, I was like, I guess I'm just unethical. You know, I think I was putting too much pressure on myself about it, you know, being very idealistic and trying to save the world. And
that's the thing, like, we're going to talk about it in later episodes, but that's the thing that will really help you if you decide to go vegetarian, to not be so hard on yourself, like to not feel like you have to do all or nothing.
Yeah, not make it into such a big deal.
Yeah, you can go part way and still be helping yourself and the planet and the animals.
Yeah.
And but I did want to share an experience that I think I might have shared in an earlier podcast that might have been the clue, like, okay, I'm headed towards vegetarianism, is when I started to record with Daniel. This was before I met Toast. I would have to drive to San Jose to see him because at the time he had a studio in San Jose versus Westwood, where he is now.
And this is, we're talking recording vocals for a musical album.
Yes.
Just in case people are just listening for the first time.
Yeah, recording vocals. And so I would drive up to San Jose. And if anyone has driven from LA to San Jose, you do pass a sea of cows. As far as your eye can see. Well, first you smell them before you can even see them. Because, right, you would think,
Mm-hmm.
then when you see them, like seriously, they are wall to wall cows and
cattle.
I don't know what they eat because there's no grass. Like they're just wall to wall. And it just, when I was, the first time I ever saw them, I started to cry. Like not even really taking in like, oh, they're for meat and all that stuff, but just more like really looking at them and they look so sad. So
and this is their life. That's, they're just standing and up and they have nowhere to go. And
there's no trees or shade or anything. They're just wall. And it's on your left-hand side and your right-hand side, a sea of cows. Okay. And so I would just cry. And then coming back, I would cry. And every single time I would go to record, I would go, okay, I'm going to be a vegetarian. But of course, it never lasted very long because I was reacting to an emotional experience. You know, it wasn't something like deeper or something, you know, that I put more thought in. I was reacting like, oh, I'm sad. I'm going to be a vegetarian.
And when the emotion passes, then
your actions change back. Yeah, then I was like, well, I'm going to eat a roast, right? Or whatever.
Right.
And then, but I was recording for, you know, quite a bit. And so I would drive up and my reaction would always be the same. I would cry. And so I think that was a clue for me that if I was to become a vegetarian, it would definitely stem from ethics and animals. So
as opposed to health,
as opposed to the health benefits
or the environmental
and the environment
benefits.
Even though I'm very happy that it does help that.
So that was our background.
That's the background
until about 4 years ago, we'll say, maybe around there. And then we came to a point in our lives where we were getting sick.
Well, I had gotten... And,
yeah, especially Sienna.
Sick so many times in 1 year. I was like, what is going on? And what happened was... So they were just basic colds and I got over them. But then I got the flu. I think it was the flu. And I had such... yeah, that's the time I was peeing blood, right? And then my kidney, my back was so sore. I couldn't even stand up. I had to like crawl to the bathroom. I was running a fever for several days in a row, a very high fever. And I lost a lot of weight in a very short period of time. And so anyways, being sick, and that lasted for a good 2 weeks. Not the high fever or anything, but just recovering from that. Probably 2-3 weeks, after 3 weeks, I felt like myself again. But being that sick in a bed made me appreciate my health so much. And I thought, there's got to be a way to boost my immune system. I keep getting sick, and this is just the worst of it, and I can't handle this. And so once I was better, I started researching a vegetarian diet. Actually, Tosin and I both... we signed up to get PETA's free DVD. It's kind of like your first step, I guess, if you're trying to go vegetarian. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but it's called Chew on This. They have several different DVDs. But anyways, we ordered that in the mail. But in the meantime, before it came, because it took quite a while, I was on the internet, and then that's when I stumbled upon the raw food diet. So even before we... really became vegetarian, we had some knowledge of the raw food diet. They kind of came at us both the same time, although we did choose to do the vegetarian thing first. But anyways, so we were doing kind of our own research, and we started to eat healthier by eating more salads. And I was just craving oranges like I never have. Like I would eat 4 oranges in a day, which was a lot for, I guess, for anybody, really, right? And so we started to just feel better. But we were still eating meat until one day we had picked up our food, and I think we were having chicken. And we sat down and we were ready to eat. And then I checked the mail because I heard it fall into the mail slot. And there's our PETA video. So we popped that in.
And keep in mind, like this DVD that we're talking about, it was part of this vegetarian starter kit for free from goveg.com.
Yeah, so it sounds very friendly.
PETA, you know?
Friendly.
And I was like, hey, you're going to give me something for free? I'll take it. You know, it wasn't like, I really need something and this might save us. You know, it was like, okay, yeah, let's it's free. Let's, you know, let's check it out. Yeah. Let's check it out. A little kit. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Kits are fun.
So here we go. We get this DVD and we're like,
okay, let's put it in. Let's put it in,
you know, and start watching it. And basically, I mean, we haven't watched it since.
We have not watched it since, and we could not even finish watching it.
Because what they're showing you, of course, I'm sure you guys can figure it out, right? This is PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Yeah. They're very in your face, and they almost have a notorious reputation because of that. But yeah, the video included a lot of undercover footage.
Yes.
That was taken in places like, I'm sure, that sea of cows, the farmed animal industry. So they showed you the worst kind of treatment that chickens or cows, pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they show you what happens. Like, you know, you might be eating your steak, but they show you like where your steak really came from and how they go about getting the meat that goes to the butcher, that cuts it up and sends it to the market that you bought your steak at. So they show all of that. And so we're not here to talk extensively about that. We're just here to share our experience of, well, having that visual, and Toast and I are very visual. We didn't finish our lunch. And from that day, we have not eaten meat.
Fish. We still kept eating fish.
We still kept eating fish. And I have to say that there are fish in this video, I think.
It was at the end.
But we didn't see the end.
We stopped the DVD. They were like, and next, fish.
Yeah, I can't watch anymore
of
this.
And we pressed stop.
Yeah.
We were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
We don't want to see any more of this type of thing.
Yes.
And we did keep eating fish for probably about the next year.
The next year, yeah.
What was really interesting was that what made us stop eating fish had nothing to do with the DVD not nothing to do with it. That's what started the whole thing. But we just kind of lost our taste for it. And we just didn't care for it anymore. It's not like we were like, and now fish.
Okay, now next on our list is fish.
Yeah, no, not at all. It just kind of just fell off the charts for us.
And Toast had an easier time with the fish thing because I don't eat sashimi or anything like that. But I used to love a tuna sandwich.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That was so every now and then I'd be like, oh, I want to eat a tuna sandwich. But so I had a harder time. But then I think, I don't know when it was, but I stumbled upon an email that I think it was Fish Amnesty Day or something. And they talked about how fish have, that they feel emotion and that they have a good memory and they remember you and recognize you and all that kind of stuff. And then I started to feel really sad. And then even though I would still crave fish, the times I did eat it, I would feel a little sick after.
That's right. I remember that.
And I think it was more psychosomatic kind of sick because after I would eat fish, I would think about them.
Oh, yeah.
So I think naturally that's just what happened for us. But, you know, we weren't really planning on, like, going without fish or anything.
Right.
Like Toast said, it just kind of happened.
Right.
So, anyways, so that's kind of our history and how we chose to become vegetarian. And
now we're mostly vegan.
Now, what gets us every now and then is an occasional like baked good or like certain breads have eggs in it. So that's what really gets us. Once in a while, cheese, like if it's in a vegetarian burrito, and because we still forget to say no cheese, we just say, oh, I'll take the vegetarian burrito, thinking that, okay, they're not going to put cheese in it. But so once in a while, those things sneak in there. But you know, we don't. For a very long time, we don't buy butter, we don't buy milk, we don't buy eggs. We don't have that in the house.
Right.
For a small time, we did have it in the house making something to bring to an event.
And again, I think that kind of falls in the fish category of like, it's not like...
Oh yeah, we weren't
on the warpath to get that out of our diet. It just kind of...
we're vegan.
We're just like, we won't do that anymore.
Because I think your body starts to really... be more discerning. Like, okay, that's a vegetable. You just ate a vegetable. Mm, yummy. That feels good. And then when you eat eggs, it's kind of like, oh, that's different. Whoa, Thud. We hardly eat eggs. Yeah. And so you feel like, I don't know. I don't feel so great. So I think just from that, you decide. Well, some people decide like, okay, no, I think I'm going to try stop eating eggs.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And, you know, so that was just kind of the natural way that it worked for us. And then we, you know, somewhere along that line, we started incorporating a lot of fresh raw foods in there.
Well, what's great is that when you stop eating meat, you got to replace it with something.
Yeah.
So then this whole variety of fresh fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. opens up. You yeah. start being like, it's yeah, I think I will try some asparagus because, yeah. hey, well, you know, mm-hmm. Something different. And yeah. then it's like, hey, it's pretty good.
yeah.
So that's what happened with us.
And I think, you know, I think the natural thing, like kind of like what Toast did, and also I have to say we did this as well, is we really turned to a lot of a super high carb diet, which does not feel good at all. So, you know, for a while you may not be eating meat, but you may not be feeling all that great either. But I think it's sort of when you stop eating meat, you don't feel that full sensation that you used to feel when you did eat meat. And right. so part of you is going, hey, I don't think I'm really full because you're not used to,
like you feel empty, like you feel a little empty. Like you're missing out on something.
Yeah. So you keep eating. And so we did eat a lot of, we overate bread and rice and things like that. But again, that was short-lived, and we realized, okay, we got to get some balance here because you just kind of go, well, we went crazy for a little while, like, oh my God, we can't eat meat. And we ate a lot.
Let's have a bread sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but again, you know, it always is about balance. And so we realized, okay, let's bring more vegetables in. And, you know, you just have to be nice to yourself and you know, just keep going. And if you slip up in terms of what you set up for yourself, then just pick yourself up and start again.
Right. I mean, we're still learning that. Like, for example, and we're wrapping this up, but exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Because we used to be very diligent and
about exercise.
Uh-huh. And we got unbalanced.
Yeah.
In the busyness.
Yeah. And Toast used to walk every day. She would do like run and pull ups and all these kind of dykey exercises. And then I would do like 4 or 5 times a week. I would do stationary bike at least 45 minutes a day for those 4 or 5 days a week. And I would do a mini Pilates session and a yoga session every 4 to 5 days a week. Yeah. No fail. Like I would just do it.
And recently we haven't been doing any of that.
We haven't been doing any of that. So we'll find our balance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always a work in progress.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed listening to our histories as meat eaters and how we came to be vegetarians. Hopefully that encourages you and inspires you. And like I said, for the rest of this month, every episode, we're going to feature things like real world suggestions to help mm-hmm. you go veggie.
Mm-hmm. Or what to tell your friends.
Or at least
or what not
veggie.
To tell your friends.
Right,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah, because it's not just about the food.
It's not about the food. It's the social pressure is incredible. The pressure you'll feel mm-hmm. from your family, from people who think you're on a diet. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So we have some tips that have worked for us and we'll share them in future podcasts.
And of course, how vegetarianism or our food choices relate to the environment and yeah. ethics and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Of course, philosophy and the recipe ideas that we've incorporated into our diet. Okay.
Yep.
So then.
Okay, so don't forget to vote.
Oh, that's right. We have a link up on our podcast site. And also don't forget the contest for that vegan guitar strap worth yes. $45. Yes, it's from Couch yes. Guitar Straps, courtesy of Humanitaire. And you enter just by mentioning or linking to our Girl Meets Girl podcast somewhere on the web and just send us an email. Tell us you did it.
Yeah, we'll believe you.
mail@girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com.
Is Thanks. That it then? That felt fast.
Really? That was almost an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, we can talk.
Bye.
Bye.
pie.
Mmm.